This episode is brought to you by Bumble. Bumble believes that what's truly sexy is an act of kindness. Isn't that just true? Playing hard to get, having a too cool type of attitude, not hot. Opening the door for someone, giving someone a shoulder to cry on, that's hot. But sometimes kindness can be as simple as just a compliment. And that's why Bumble launched their new compliments feature. So now when someone's profile catches your eye, you can let them know with a compliment. Try it for yourself and download Bumble today.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders.
News headquarters in New York City. Always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade back in studio. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for being here. We got a great hour coming your way. Will Hurd's in studio. Jamie Metzl at the bottom of the hour. Member of the WHO Advisory Committee. We know the revelations that came out yesterday. Possibly not only one leak, but two leaks from a lab. And nobody thinks it's coming from some type of bat to another type of animal. Nobody's found the animal yet. Today is going to be a big day. There's going to be a lot of hearings. Finance Committee and the IRS. We're going to hear from the Foreign Relations Committee exposing Putin's crimes and evidence in the Russian war. And the president will be delivering remarks on his bottom-up economic principles. 37% of the country approve of the way he's handling the economy. So you know how much I'm interested in that. So before we get to Congressman Hurd, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
You look at this whole special district. Walt Disney Corporation obviously owns a lot of it, but the district owns other land. What should we do with this land? Try to do more amusement parks. Someone even said, like, maybe you need another state prison. Who knows?
Disney down low. Governor DeSantis' fight with Disney has caused his possible GOP presidential opponents to pick a fight with him, calling this brawl with CEO Bob Iger anti-conservative, petty, way too personal. We're going to look at the 2024 race.
Number two.
It has the potential of civilizational destruction. If that's the case for AI and we're only putting regulations after something terrible has happened, it may be too late to actually put the regulations in place. The AI may be in control at that point.
No joke. That is really not AI. That's really Elon Musk with Tucker last night. Can't be avoided. AI is here and close to affecting everything we do. The Tucker sit down with Elon Musk. He'll talk about his concerns, and he was at the forefront of all the innovation.
Number one.
These are reports of trafficking and abuse of migrant children. You can see a massive surge that begins to happen when? Oh, when you come to office in 2021. Thousands of children have ended up in punishing jobs across the country.
Children. This story broken by the New York Times. Breaking point. Let's get this straight. The chaos, crime, and drugs taking place at the border is the Biden administration's fault, and it's getting worse. Cartels are getting richer. We get more drug addicted, more drug deaths, and child abuse. Our only hope, hold on tight in two more years. Is that indeed the case? He spent some time in the CIA, spent some time in the House of Representatives, and now he's spending some quality time in studio. Will Hurd, welcome.
Hey, brother. How are you, man?
Finally, good to see you face to face.
Absolutely.
Right after these emotional hearings yesterday, led by Republicans with almost... Democratic support. What was accomplished in unloading yesterday on Mayorkas?
It shows the incompetence that has plagued this administration when it comes to border security policies. I was in Congress when this crisis erupted under Donald Trump. I represented more border than any other member of Congress. The unaccompanied minors were in facilities in my district. So this is something that I know intimately and have been involved with for a very long time. It is outrageous that we have children between the ages of 12 and 16 that are basically being allowed to be human trafficked.
Is this 1910?
Exactly, right? I thought I was reading like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle,
yeah.
Right? The thing that's outrageous on this is that there were a number of workers who identified this. They identified the problem when the kids were in facilities saying, hey, these are not people we should be releasing them to. You had people in HHS say, this seems to be a problem. They had people in Department of Labor go in and knock on some of these doors. And what's happened? Not only did they allow more kids to do this, they've only fined some of these companies that are using this child labor. We should be outraged. We should be appalled. And again, this is one reason why I think Joe Biden should fire Mayorkas, because the only way we're going to see a change is to get somebody new at the top of the at the top of the Department of Homeland Security.
But Congressman, no one's more street smart than you. You know he's just doing what Biden wants. You could put Thomas Holman in there. He'd last a week. He'd realize what the administration goal was. So they're not interested in doing anything to stop the border. And what they're doing now, it got so overwhelming, he had to go visit. Right. In fact, his only comment was the border doesn't work. The wall's too immovable. And it's starting to rust anyway. What are you talking about? It's proved effective everywhere it's put.
Some of the immigration bills that the Democrats are trying to introduce this cycle is already being promoted in places in other parts of the world about how it's going to be even easier to come into the United States. We need common sense leadership on this problem. We know how to solve the problem. It starts with stop treating everybody as an asylum seeker. The best thing for these kids is to be back in their home countries with their family members. We should be working with our allies to address root causes in those countries. There's a diplomatic failure that's happening here where all these countries are sending so many people here and don't care and aren't trying to stop it. So it's a problem on many layers that this administration hasn't shown an ability in order to address.
This is not your speed, but it was high octane confrontation with Senator Josh Hawley. Cut four.
Let's talk about the surge in child smuggling and child exploitation that is happening on your watch. Do you know the number of unaccompanied children who have come across the border on your watch?
Senator, I don't have that number at my disposal, but I can assure you that we are incredibly dedicated to the safety and security of those children.
Well, it doesn't appear so based on what we're reading today in the New York Times, what we're reading and seeing from numbers from your own office. The answer to my question, by the way, is 345,807. That's the number of unaccompanied children, children who have come across the border on your watch.
And he goes on, and this sparring continues, but he brings back the policy of family separation at the border. And Tom Holman brought up, he's like, look, if you're drunk driving, they take away your kids. They'll just put you in jail and you'll put your kids somewhere. That's how he was doing it. They quickly adjusted that. The first lady was against it. She went down to see it. It stopped. To go back to 2017 and say that's the problem, that must just drive you crazy.
Look, it's outrageous that they don't understand what the problem is. They're either lying about what the
problem
is.
But what do you think? Do you think they understand the problem? Do you think they don't care?
I think it is so big and they do not know what to do. I think it's that simple. When you have not allegations but suggestions that Susan Rice, that Susan Rice in the White House is like, what are we doing? The reason this is becoming a bigger problem is because of our actual policies. The fact that you have indication that's happening is that they understand that this is a bigger problem, and they don't know what to do about it. And the silence of some of the other Democrats in the House and the Senate when they were protesting in front of facilities on the border almost daily when I was in Congress is unacceptable. And the fact that Mayorkas would show up to a hearing and not have the data, knowing these questions were going to get asked. It was on the front page of the New York Times.
But don't you think he has the data, but he knows what's he supposed to do? Say 345,000 minors are missing or in the system, possibly of child labor. He doesn't want those stats in front of him. So listen to – not only are they not condemning, listen to Tom Carper of Delaware, cut seven.
Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Paul, fellow colleagues with whom I have the privilege to serve on this committee for a long, long time. Before I get into my questions, I want to just take a moment to acknowledge Secretary Mayorkas' leadership of the Department of Homeland Security. When I talk about integrity, I often say, if you have it, nothing else matters. If you don't have it, nothing else matters. And Secretary Mayorkas has it.
This guy should be fired. I mean, he should be recalled almost immediately. Look, not only are you not condemning him, you're praising him on television.
Look, and why are more voters not upset by this? I think they are. I think they're frustrated. When you go to the border, the communities along the border are absolutely frustrated. The people that are working this issue are frustrated. When you look at the philanthropic organizations that are having to come in to help with this, they're frustrated with this. With
some
this
of them get a lot of money.
Look, they do.
These Catholic charities?
Sure, but they're overwhelmed too, right? And because they want to help people that are actually here. And ultimately, none of this is humane. This notion Democrats are actually being inhumane to folks that are actually here. They're being inhumane and encouraging human smugglers to get
they
folks
a ton of money.
The human smugglers at a minimum probably made $25 million last year just in Mexico alone. Right? That is absolutely outrageous, and you're encouraging the problem. And when you don't identify the people that are causing the problem, when you don't know what the actual, when you can't articulate what the problem is, and you're afraid of collecting numbers, then it's time for you to go. And this is something, if Joe Biden is serious about securing the border, he would fire Mayorkas, and they would take a complete change in direction. And unfortunately, I don't think that's happened. And that's why we have an opportunity in 2024 for those that care about the border to make their voices heard.
But he would probably hire somebody like a transgender Mexican astronaut that had never done this before. He is just checking boxes with all his nominees. Yesterday, he nominated someone someone with the FAA has never worked in an airport before. He was a worker. And then we're hearing about all these other people that have no qualifications. They just are a certain gender or a certain sexual identify sexually as something that would be unique. But I got to ask you, I see this video this morning of about 10,000 Chinese and the Darien Gap, April 17th. Be well-dressed, not refugees. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? Why are we getting thousands of Chinese coming across our border?
Brian, this has been happening longer than we recognize and understand. There were a number of Chinese nationals that came into the country across the border illegally in South Texas that said that they were, in essence, trying to be day laborers. They went and were working at SpaceX, which is the facility in South Texas. They ended up finding out that these were Chinese astrophysicists that were trying to go in and steal secrets from SpaceX to help with the space program.
No,
I'm not kidding.
Has that been out?
It's been out. And so one of the things that the folks in Border Patrol actually look at, they look at when people come across, inspect their hands. These people are trying to act like they're coming to work in agriculture, but they have perfectly manicured hands. These are people that are part of a broader effort of the Chinese Communist Party to impact America. Unfortunately, though, the threat is not just about them coming across the border illegally. They're stealing our technology. They're impacting us globally. They're taking the opposition that we have amongst ourselves and manifesting that again with their enemies against us. And this is a real concern, a real threat. And the border and thousands of people coming across our border illegally is just one broader concern and one broader issue in what I consider to be a new Cold War between the United States and the Chinese government.
It's so comprehensive. There got to be an immediate Chinese policy when it comes to them crossing the border. They got to go through a special debriefing area. No question about it.
Well, if we just do it the right way, if you come in between our ports of entry, that is illegal entrance into the country, and you're immediately deported. This isn't rocket science. This is common sense. Now, we have a lot of complicated issues.
You're a refugee.
Absolutely. And even there, right, to get asylum, you have to be a member of a protected class, whether that's your race, your gender, your ethnicity. You have to prove your government is trying to persecute you. Wow. And this is not happening. And so because you want to come here to get a better job, that's not a reason to be able to claim for asylum. And it's not humane because we're encouraging this kind of illegal activity.
A few more minutes with Congressman Will Hurd. He's kind enough to come into studio. Not only do we talk about what's happening as a U.S. congressman, but he's also got the CIA background. Don't move, Brian Kilmeade Show.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. Bumble believes that what's truly sexy is an act of kindness. Isn't that just true? Playing hard to get, having a too cool type of attitude, not hot. Opening the door for someone, giving someone a shoulder to cry on, that's hot. But sometimes kindness can be as simple as just a compliment. And that's why Bumble launched their new compliments feature. So now when someone's profile catches your eye, you can let them know with a compliment. Try it for yourself and download Bumble today.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor. Paycor empowers leaders to build winning teams. With Paycor, leaders can recruit, onboard and train employees, set goals, and drive performance. If you're a leader, everyone depends on you. Who do leaders depend on? Paycor. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders.
The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, I'm with here with Will Hurd, who at one point may be a presidential candidate. I don't know if it's going to be this cycle or not, but he certainly has the background, successful congressman over in Texas, and a successful CIA. What was your actual title in CIA?
I was a case officer, so my job was to be overseas and recruit spies and steal secrets. And you know,
sounds easy.
I started right out of undergrad when I was 22, and my job was to stop terrorists from blowing up the homeland, Russian spies from stealing our secrets, and to put nuclear weapons proliferators out of business. And I got to do it in places like India for 2 years, Pakistan 2 years. Wow. I was in Afghanistan for a year and a half, where I manage all of our undercover
Since
operations.
Since 2001, the focus has been on terror, unwinding these terrorist plots before they happen. I understand, and they did great at it, the FBI too. Now it's got to be China combining with Russia, combining with Iran, and possibly North Korea. They have formed their new axis of evil, and it's a bigger axis, and it's more formidable, led by China. General Keane says he believes this administration's overwhelmed by how many different areas they've taken over Latin America, infiltrating into Africa, and, of course, storming our border, perhaps, as we just discussed, buying 330,000 acres of American farmland, flying spy balloons over. Why can they not get a hold of this?
They can't get a hold of this because they don't have a broader strategy on how to deal with the rest of the world. I think it's real simple. Your friends should love you and your enemies should fear you. And ultimately, they're trying to negotiate with our enemies, and they're ignoring our friends. This is an absolute problem.
They get you hostages.
It gets you hostages. Let's take our own backyard, Mexico. The Mexican government invaded an American company and allowed a Chinese company to have access to a deep water port in the Gulf of Mexico. Are we talking about that? The fact that happened in our own backyard with an ally, with an important ally,
no,
is insane. The fact that Brazil, over the last couple of years, have gotten even closer with China and have stopped doing currency trades in the dollar. This is really significant.
Biden backed Lula in that election.
Look, so
76-year-old criminal.
Look, so if you can't even get your allies right. The fact that President Macron from France went to China and basically said, America, don't make us have to choose between the U.S. and China. The only reason he says that is to imply we would not like the answer. This is France. And so if you can't get your allies behind you, then you're not going to be able to get your enemies to fear you. And the Chinese government and it's on tech policy. The way the Chinese government recognizes that they're going to surpass the United States of America as a global superpower is by being the world leader in about 12 different areas. This is a reality, and we need to make sure that the federal government is working with the private sector to deal with this. It starts with having a strategy, and when you don't have a strategy, you can't deal with these individual things that pop up.
And what was Anthony Blinken doing yesterday? Praising Japan for making their embassy, the U.S. embassy in Japan, all green. Can you believe this? Well, Japan has doubled their defense budget and sees China as the threat it is. Will Hurd, thrilled to have you in studio.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
All right, when we come back, Jamie Metzl tells us about what really was displayed with COVID-19 and the origins from that meeting yesterday.
Between the kids being home and hosting, everything in our house gets used up in summer. With Instacart, I can save money by stocking up on all my favorite summer brands. I save time by getting everything delivered in as fast as an hour. And I save myself a sink full of dirty dishes by stocking up on paper plates for the annual summer cookout. Save more on summer essentials. Spend more time enjoying summer. Add summer to cart. Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
I think that the search for the truth should drive where we go from here, and everyone from our intelligence agencies to members of the administration to members of Congress to public health officials should put politics aside and let our intelligence speak the truth about what happened. Speak the truth to the Americans who deserve that truth, deserve justice, and deserve accountability. And only by seeking truth, justice, and accountability for this pandemic can we achieve the other equally important goal of preventing the next pandemic.
So that's what John Ratcliffe brought up, the former DNI guy. He was in charge of all the intelligence, and he does believe that this thing came from a lab leak. And so does somebody else who thinks there's an excellent chance of that, was one of the first to say it, Jamie Metzl, member of the WHO Advisory Committee, senior fellow at the Atlantic Council and former National Security Council official in the Clinton administration. Jamie, you were there testifying too yesterday. Yes. Great to see you in person.
Nice. And I wasn't there yesterday. I was in the I was the lead witness in the first congressional hearings, which were a month ago.
So what came out yesterday was kind of interesting in that John Ratcliffe, the Republicans now leading it, and John Ratcliffe brought up something I did not know about. He also believes that people back then thought it was a lab leak, but everyone was afraid to say it.
So I certainly, as you know, as you mentioned, I've been saying it from day one. There were a lot of people who had suspicions, and there was this crazy environment in the United States in 2020 where there were all kinds of politics that were pushing people into weird extremes. And so I, again, as a Democrat, I know, because when I started speaking up, fellow Democrats who were saying, hey, why are you speaking up so loudly? Doesn't this narrative support President Trump? And what I said is, I'm not even a fan of President Trump, but I'm a fan of speaking honestly yeah. and looking at the data and following it wherever it goes. And if President Trump, who I wasn't even a fan of, if he was saying something that sounded right to me, like, why should I say, oh, no, it's wrong just because President Trump said it? So I think we should all just be evaluating.
That's what John Ratcliffe said yesterday, yeah. is because Trump brought it up. They went the opposite way. I'm sure our country would have felt different about the vaccine if Trump won four more years and the vaccine was out there. Remember, the vice president of the United States says, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable taking a vaccine from Trump. Really? Well, when that came out, you were a horrible person if you didn't take the vaccine, which is generated from the Trump administration.
Well,
so people would have flipped sides, I think.
No, it's we're in this crazy situation where people are developing their opinions based on tribal identities. And so President Trump, when the history of COVID-19 is written, the Operation Warp Speed will be an incredible success. It saved millions of lives.
But do you know if
lives.
He brings that up during speeches, he gets booed?
I know. And so it's unfortunate. Like, I think this is on all sides, is like we have these crazy purity tests for ourselves. I mean, just when I came into the studio, I was commenting on your U.S.-Ukraine pin. And I was saying, it's great. We should all be on the side of supporting the Ukrainians who've been invaded.
Who were invaded.
I mean, this is like, it's just like a clear thing. It's our whole history as Americans. And that you have some people on the far right, on the far left, who are saying, hey, this is somebody else's problem. I think we just need to take a step back and just look at the evidence. And on vaccines, and I was very supportive of the vaccines. I've been very vocal saying that the Operation Warp Speed, the Trump administration, it was incredible. And I just wish that President Trump, after that success, when he was vaccinated anyway, would have said, I'm going to get vaccinated on national television. I'm going to say, hey, here's why we did Operation Warp Speed. Here's why we think this is a safe way. And then even when there were issues, I know people have asked questions, raised issues about the vaccines. We could just have an open, public, respectful right. conversation.
Like, for example, I don't think Trump would have mandated like President Biden did. That creates resentment. You know, if you tell somebody what to do, you're a parent, you're doing these things, and you're told you can't go to work, you can't do this, yeah. you can't go to school unless you get it. Excuse me, I'm healthy. It seems like it's not really affect. If you don't get it, you're out of school. You cannot go to school. You got to work at home. You're out of that yeah. college. I saw in the SUNY system here, a few relatives I know said, okay, I have to leave that school, go to Florida school, and they're there now. Because of it, created so much resentment. And then there are situations where people had a negative reaction to it, the myocarditis yeah. and things to that
sure,
nature.
Yeah.
But if you acknowledge that, if yeah. I'm a leader and say, listen, I'm a little concerned about these 22-year-old right. athletes who are getting swelling in the heart. So I think we should consider it. Then all of a sudden I'm in it together as opposed right. to I am not going to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I think that's and I think that this is what happens when we get pushed into these extremes
yeah.
where there's a purity test for everybody and you kind of have to just be the purest version of some extreme. And we do have vaccine mandates for kids, the measles, mumps and rubella and all these. There are all kinds of vaccines that are required. And so I just think that we need to, as a country, and I know that you're trying to do this as well, is to say, like, let's just look at the evidence and say yeah. we're all Americans. Everybody is trying to protect their kids. Like, let's that have that be the starting point and have a conversation. Well, what are the best ways of doing it?
You know, we just watched this video, watching this last night. In Ithaca, New York, there's these kids who have to wear their mask all day, even outside.
Wow.
So I'm seeing stuff like that is just yeah. abusive. And then if you have a problem with that, maybe you can't afford a private school. What are you supposed to do? You have to deal with that. John Ratcliffe said this about your idol, Anthony Fauci, and being sarcastic. Cut 29.
Did Dr. Fauci relay any of these concerns to you?
He
that
didn't.
May have come from a lab?
He did not.
Then why do you think he did not?
Well, that would I would obviously have to speculate, but I would point you to Dr. Fauci being perhaps the best person to answer that. And there is publicly available under information that has been obtained through open sources and Freedom of Information where Dr. Fauci and other virologists and scientists talk about the fact that it would bring unwanted attention to funding sources. And the research that was taking place using funding sources, domestic funding sources from the United States.
And you've heard that.
Yeah.
So that's what people go crazy on. Some people defend them, some don't.
Yeah, I mean, the basic facts, as I see it, is in the early days of this pandemic, it was certainly clear to me when I looked at the available evidence that maybe it came from nature. But there was a very real possibility it came from a lab. And I feel like there were people in the United States who would have had the most knowledge of that possibility. And certainly people like we've talked about in the past, Peter Daszak and the EcoHealth Alliance, who in 2018 had been part of a proposal and a funding proposal to the Defense Department that was rejected, calling to engineer SARS-like viruses to make them better able to infect human cells in the exact way that SARS-CoV-2 ended up being. There were people like Dr. Fauci, and you said facetiously, I'm a fan. I actually am a fan of Dr. Fauci, but that doesn't mean I support everything that he's ever done. And I think there was a lack of honesty and transparency in those early days. And I think that I think that the American people are better able to understand nuance. They're better able to understand. Someone says, look, here's what we know and here's what we don't know and here are the possibilities. It may have come from nature and people said we think it probably came from nature, came from a market. That's fine. But there's a real possibility that it could have come from a research-related accident and we need to follow all of those leads until we get the right answer. That would have been the way to do it.
And the theory that came out over the weekend, over the last 2 days, is that what about two leaks? Because there was some signs that they were looking at a vaccine after it would be the first leak. Right. And why do you look for a vaccine? Because you think something got out. And how do you know what to look for? Because you know what you're which you're vaccinating against. For I don't know if vaccinating is actually a word.
We'll make it one.
Yeah, we'll make it one. So they said there's a theory out there for two leaks. Have you heard that?
Yeah. So Roger Marshall has been speaking about this. And it's a credible hypothesis, and it's worth exploring. And that's why we need to get more information. But it's as plausible as anything else.
Right. You only have 30 seconds left. Yeah. You have to run.
Yeah.
But real quick, for you personally, is the well been poisoned for the next pandemic because of this?
Well, absolutely. I mean, China, it looks like it most likely, as you know, I believe it most likely came from a lab accident. They've done a whole cover up. 20 million people are dead, and they're just behaving as normal. We have not done everything we need to do to protect us for the next time. So we need to be honest about what happened, and we need to be building our defenses, and we're not working quickly enough.
And somehow we got to rebuild the trust to listen to whatever the leadership says has happened. And right now there's some distrust because of all the misinformation that's been out there. Jamie, thanks so much.
Great to see you.
He's an old-fashioned scientist who's curious and open to ideas. Back in a moment.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
They don't make moves like this that aren't in their interests, at least in a general way. So the fact that many of them seem to be moving over to Trump is really a warning sign for DeSantis and all the other Republican candidates.
That is Larry Sabato saying, noticing that so many Republican Florida House members, not Chip Roy, he's going to DeSantis, and I think one other in Florida, but most of the big names like Byron Donalds have already endorsed Trump. I know Michael Waltz has been the biggest name, and I don't think he's done anything yet, but he's really tied with DeSantis, too. Ron DeSantis not getting in. It might be more difficult than he thought in waiting, but I think he'll probably be in the next couple of weeks, and I look for him to fight it out. Chris Christie will fight it out, too. I think 2024 is fascinating. Donald Trump pulling out so early in so many different states is a surprise, definitely. I mean, he's got a real good team this time, much better than his last two. No offense, Kellyanne Conway, but they were just kind of half put together. This guy's in, this woman's out, this person's up, this person's down. Brad Parscale was hot in 2016. He was a mess in 2020. And now 2024, he seems to have a pretty good team with Pat Summerall's daughter running things, who seems to be a big enemy of Ron DeSantis. But Ron DeSantis is extremely tough, extremely smart, extremely successful, and his instincts are real strong, and he's indefatigable. And he's not going to make – he's going to make mistakes on policy. But I don't think he's going to make mistakes on, you know, the easy mistakes that Trump makes, or having lunch with a white supremacist or Kanye West, if this is if he's anti-Semitic and a lot of other things. You know, I don't think he's going to have any of those type issues. But Ron DeSantis has got to get in now, I think, and for no other reason. Not that he's running out of time. He's running out of time because of what's happening now and with people picking sides. But I think DeSantis has got to get in. Because I think he needs to make sure he has got a good staff. I think he sort of makes sure those other people thinking about not endorsing him have a true choice. He could say, well, you and look, you were getting in. Number two is there's a big story on Disney, big divide on Disney. When it comes to cracking down on Disney, DeSantis is in a pitch battle with Disney Corporation. Why? They came out and mischaracterized his bill. And they said it's a don't say gay bill. And that Disney came out about it with all their power out of California. And then Ron DeSantis goes, really? Why do you guys have a sweetheart deal from the 1950s and you have a whole autonomous zone? Why don't I take that away from you? Disney battled back and found a loophole and then took power back. And now DeSantis is going back. So they're wrestling to the ground. But guess what else is happening? Other conservatives like Chris Sununu, governor of New Hampshire, like Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, former, like Vice President Mike Pence, and now Donald Trump have all said that's anti-conservative. I don't think it's a good move to fight with a corporation, especially Disney, that means so much. And by the way, Jeb Bush said the same thing to me. We were doing a feature on who is Ron DeSantis. So you understand what's going on here. So that's the message, the GOP. This to me is okay. That's healthy. That's a good debate. Don't get personal. Don't make up stuff about eating pudding with your hands. Don't go make stuff up that he wants people to retire at 70. Don't go make stuff up that Ron DeSantis wants to take away your Social Security or your Medicare. What he wants to do is make it solvent, like every other Republican used to want to do. More from Sabato. Cut 34.
I don't think it's a mistake so far, but, you know, we're getting close to May, June. That's pretty much the deadline. And you've got the first Republican debate coming up in August. I think that's on Fox. So, you know, it's time to go ahead and jump in. He is right now the major opposition to Trump. And it would be a little easier for him in small groups and large if he were actually a declared candidate. It would also be easier for his TV ad people as well. They could go right after Trump and other candidates if they chose.
And Nikki Haley's been quiet on this issue, but she's been the strongest since she declared her candidacy. She seems to be the busiest. Vivek Ramaswamy is in there. Asa Hutchinson's in there. And Vivek is probably making himself known worldwide. I don't think he has a legitimate shot, but he'll be very formidable on stage. He's not his knowledge and intellect is through the roof. And Nikki Haley's experience is phenomenal. And Mike Pence is not going to be intimidated. But no one is stronger, has stronger personality than Donald Trump. I also think Chris Christie's getting in. The former governor of New Jersey was talking to potential donors, former staffers, and basically said, I'll need all of you if I'm going to do this thing. He thinks that this might be the right time for him. He says he also sees himself as a candidate who would appeal to enough independents to beat Joe Biden. My goodness, you got to be able to beat Joe Biden. I think that goes without saying, I thought Brian Kemp would get in for a while. I thought Tom Cotton would get in. Neither are. Mike Pompeo is not getting in. He's going to get into this show at some point, at some hour. Now, Republicans won't win, won't take back the Senate, may not hold the House if they don't get a hold and start tackling these new voting rules. Even though they're abhorrent, if you have voting season instead of voting day, instead of voting week, you have instead of voting day, you have voting week or voting month. And it makes it too easy. I get it. But in the states that have not reformed, you have to have a policy. You have to have a plan. Ned Ryan from the American Majority, really bright guy, was on with Laura last night, said this about what the Republicans are not doing. Cut 35.
And we're not going to win simply on the power of our ideas, Laura. We actually have to build the machine. And I would point to Florida as an example. Right. I don't think a lot of people know that in 2018, Democrats held over a 250,000 voter registration advantage in the state. And yet today, 2023, Republicans now have a 450,000 registration advantage because they were actually determined to overcome that deficit. And when they were down in voter registration in Florida, Republicans took the time to actually fund real absentee ballot chase programs. That's why they won 21 of 24 statewide races since 2010, because they put $10 million into an absentee ballot chase program over 6 weeks. The votes are there, Laura, if we have the force of will and determination to actually fund the right things.
So that is a strategic issue. That's like saying, I got the most talent, but I'm not practicing if you're a football team. Well, if you're not practice, if you don't go over the new rules, if, for example, it's like being a baseball team saying, yeah, I heard about the new pitch clock, heard about the bigger bases, I heard about the lack of shift, but I'm not going to prepare for it. I got the best team. No, you need the best strategy for the new rules. You may hate the rules. Doesn't matter. Well, you're a 41-year-old pitcher who can't get used to it. Find a way or quit. And that's where Ron McDaniel's got to listen to a guy like Ned Ryan. Either say he's wrong, they do have a strategy, or say he's right and ask for his help. There's enough money, there's so much money flowing into these parties and these programs and these candidates, even the one that's the most lightly funded, they got to be able to put together a strategy that allow whoever the nominee is to win. Because you don't want Joe Biden to win again, even if you're a Democrat. Don't tell me that that's better for the country. 67% of the country says he's got bad policies when it comes to the economy. Between 38 and 42% approve his overall job rating. And when things got tough, this guy was in Ireland for a week looking at different bricks his great-grandfather may have made. How does that help America? Nice family vacation when you retire or when you quit. Let me know how it goes. Not on our time. Brian Kilmeade Show.
From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. So glad you're here. Coming to you from 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan. Heard around the country, heard around the world. Carol Markowitz, New York Post columnist and co-author of Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating a Generation, which we're witnessing, will be with us shortly. And if you've seen what's going on in New York and Chicago specifically, you'll want to hear from Heather McDonald. She is a crime expert, is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a contributing editor of City Journal, New York Times bestselling author. Her new book came out yesterday, When Race Trumps Merit, How the Pursuit of Equity Sacrifices Excellence, Destroys Beauty, and Threatens Lives. And basically being anti-cop, killing the country. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's